sorry, I got a phone call this morning, just as I got out of bed, turned my phone off at night. So I don't get a lot of phone calls during the middle of the night, so I run a little handyman business, a lot of you guys know it. Landmark, so I shut my phone off at night, so if they need a handyman, you know, call me. So when I did turn it on this morning, I just missed a message from Kirk. Kirk tried to get a hold of me. Well, Kirk and I had scheduled to go to the prison, Avery Mitchell, this morning together for my first time. I've been going with David and Allison there twice to a Tuesday night service called Yoke Folks. And I'm just going to be real quick about it. It's impacted my life for a lot of reasons. And I get into that a little bit. But Kirk called me this morning, or he texted me and said, call me. That's what he said, call me. So I said, okay. And I figured he's going to tell me I'm going to be there a little bit early, you know. Show up, behave yourself, stuff like that. So I called him and said, I'm sick. And I was so let down because I said, man, we're not going to get together. I was so looking forward all week, and I'll go into that a little bit. He said, but if I don't go, they don't have church. He said, would you feel comfortable going? I said, yes. No, but yes, I'll go. So that was about 10 minutes before walking out the door. So I've been up and I've been praying, reading my Bible this morning, you know, my little 3 minutes with God. And out the door I went. Well, I'm going to back up a little bit. Well, first, if you got your Bibles, do me a favor, turn to Isaiah 61. Read a couple verses out of Isaiah. And I'm going to do pretty much the same format that I did at Avery Mitchell this morning. Same sort of kind of thing. This is the scripture that I used this morning. Now, this is a 800 man minimum institution. Some of you folks work there, so you know what I'm talking about. But it's prison. This is not pre-release center. It's not county jail. This is prison. For 6 years, I worked in prison. During that 6 years, I almost went to prison. I've never given my testimony, but it's not glamorous.
A couple times.
Many times. I was locked up. But for the grace of God. So I have a heart for prison. And I didn't realize until David and Alice and Kirk came into my life where that was going. So, anyway, this is the scripture that I read. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captive be released and the prisoner be freed. Now, I read this morning in a medium security institution with 200 plus men sitting, all with the same uniform on. And I was there to tell them that they're there for a time such as this. They're behind enemy lines. Yeah. Satan has done everything in his power to kill every man sitting there in those chairs. There's a lot of men sitting there that's got bullet holes in them, stab wounds, hepatitis, AIDS. Satan has done everything in his power. And I read this scripture here to them, and I tell them, for such a time as this, I'm standing here in front of you. Not that I have anything to give you, but what Jesus Christ has in store for you is freedom. Even though you're behind barbed wire fence, cinder block walls, slide sealed doors, Jesus Christ offers freedom. I encourage anybody that wants to see how Jesus Christ works in our lives. I lose track of it here. You know, I've got a beautiful wife and a nice home, and I've got money in my wallet, and I've got all the stuff, and I keep myself busy getting more stuff, and to the point where I had to rent a U-Haul truck this week to carry my stuff. So I go to this institution, and I see these people that are broken. They've got, there's nothing left in their lives. There's nothing. There's no marriage. There's no family. The kids, the majority of the kids won't have anything to do with them. And I read this scripture here about what they have. If they know Jesus Christ, they can be set free. They have more than a lot of us out here. One more. I'm going to go over to Romans 5. Starting at verse 2. Paul is writing this to the church. He's about to go to Rome. I found out in the last couple of weeks, I was studying the life of Paul. He walked over 20,000 miles. I mean, we got guys, I got some friends that walk the Appalachian Trail. I've walked across them. One side of the road. So I got an Appalachian Trail sticker. I got some Appalachian Trail t-shirts. And I even got some backpacks and stuff. But Paul walked 20,000 miles to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And most of the New Testament that he wrote from prison. So this is a book. I held it up this morning to these guys. I said, this is a book that a third of it was written in prison. By prison. That was a murderer. God has a plan for your life. Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. The service that we experienced this morning in that building with 200 men. Because I could relate to it. I could relate to how Satan has tried to snatch me away from God. I could relate to that. I could relate to how he made this world look so attractive. How he gave me the desires of my heart. They weren't good desires. And but for the grace of God and the prayers of my mom and the prayers of my grandparents and all those prayers have been offered up to me from birth to now, that would be me sitting in that prison. There's a lot of men sitting in here that would be there with me. It was amazing. So, I read this scripture. Okay, this starting at verse 2. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into the place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. We confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. I'll stop there. It goes on. It kind of finishes out at verse 7. I went to Yoke Fellows Tuesday night. Tuesday night, there's an hour long. All these services in the prison's an hour long. So Tuesday night, I go, I think the gentleman's name is John. He's a doctor from Burnsville.
David.
Yeah, that's other John. David? That's your name.
Okay, two of us.
Okay, two names. Anyhow, I never met David. And Kurt went with us, which was cool. And of course, everybody knows Kurt. And apparently, when Kurt goes, there's a lot more people show up at the service. Of course, they didn't know he was coming to Yoke Fellows, but this morning, that place was packed, which I was really impressed with. To hear Kurt didn't get me, so I'm kind of, yeah, but it was really good. But Wednesday, when we finally finished up a big job Valerie and I did this week, we'd been working on it, and we finally finished it. We had a breather. And I went home and I started going through Chuck Colson's stuff. Got a bunch of Chuck Colson. For you who don't know who Chuck Colson is, he was the hatchet man for the Watergate scandal, and he was the fall guy. He went to prison, an attorney, started a prison fellowship ministry, and the rest is history. He just was in there. God used him to do great things behind prison bars, prison walls. And I was going through that, and I'm thinking, Lord, you know, why do I even? When I get something in my head, I usually do it a lot. You know, I have an addictive personality. So when I got into this idea of going to prison, and then Kirk said, would you mind going on Sunday morning? And he said, there may be a time in the future that somebody can't show up, and I'm not in town, I'll get you to fill in. I said, okay, cool. Yeah, let me go with you and see how this all goes down. So all week long, I had this on my mind. I was reading. There's 72 scriptures in the Bible that deal directly with being in prison. So I was doing all that this week. just thinking about, you know, this thing. And then God's so good that he gets Kurt sick. And I get to go do it. We serve an awesome God, folks. I mean, that's cool. I don't need it. We need to keep Kurt first. If he's sick, he's sick. I guarantee that. But, and I'm thinking on the way to the prison, like, you know, well, let me back. Wednesday or Thursday morning, I had to go into town for something. So I started praying on the way into town. And I start talking like God's sitting there in the seat. You know, I'm actually talking. I pray a lot, and it's usually, you know, like everybody else prays, you close your eyes and pray. And I prayed specifically for the prison ministry. Specifically. For two ways, two avenues here. I prayed that he could use me and David and Kurt to mend those folks, to help, to show Jesus, lift up Jesus. We all know the scripture. Jesus says, he lifted up his all. And I said, Lord, do that. I said, but give me a heart. Give me a desire. I said, it's cool. I don't get paid. There's nothing in it for me. There's no rewards. I mean, physically, you know, no tangible things that you can let. But I said, Lord, my prayer would be, and I'm saying this out loud with you, guy in the seat, and I've never done this before. It's the first time I've ever done this. Not all the way into New Love. Send me by. There's a core group of men in that prison that put me to shame as far as reading the Bible, knowing the scripture. Now, these guys are doing double life, 92 and 20 plus 2. You know, some of us know what that means. They ain't gonna get at it. There's no place out here for them. They're not, even the state has deemed them not to be able to be returned into society. So I stood up in front of those men this morning and I said, I see disciples of Jesus Christ. Some of you have never seen them, never be a free man. And I said, that breaks my heart. I said, the way that breaks my heart is you come to the knowledge. In the salvation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that'll break down these walls. That'll tear down these fences. That'll bend families. My Jesus is a chain breaker. He's a way maker. And I said, some of us are so hard-headed. Some of us are so lost that before the foundations of the earth, I believe God chose you, put you where you're at. You had to be here because of your situation. And that service went on for an hour. They sang two songs for half an hour. And they were crying. They were praising God. And I'm thinking, oh, God. And that's after I did all this talking to the empty seat, going into Newland. And I'm thinking, I can't hardly stand up there. I can't hardly do it. I mean, I'm about to break. They don't know what's going on. But I didn't tell them about that. I didn't tell them about what I prayed to Chuck Holt, because that's not one part of it. So that's been my morning. And I didn't have no idea today, you know, that I was going to be standing up here, but I want to share that with you. Because this church has made a huge investment in eternity. Huge. We look around and, you know, most of us are, you know, just, you know, we're here. You know, we come here, I'm here. You know, I come to church every Sunday morning. I don't come to Sunday school because I'm too lazy to get out of bed. You know, all that kind of stuff. We're here. You know, we do help with the meat market or yard sale or wherever. But there's stuff going on. And I want to encourage anybody, especially men, young men, old men, if you want to get blessed, if you want to see how Jesus Christ can move, then you need to come with me one Sunday morning. It's a process. You got to get cleared. You can go one time, and it takes forever to get your blue card and things like that. But in my life, I've been in more bondage from Satan as a free man than a whole bunch of those men in that prison that is worshiping Jesus and discipling and praying. You hear one of those guys pray, you can't fake a prayer like that. These guys are, they don't have nothing but Jesus. There's nothing left. There's nobody but Jesus. It has everything. How do we get there? How do I get there? How do I get to the point in Bob Ivins' life to where, you know, I'm just not talking about it. I'm just not going through the motions. But how do I strip off everything of Jesus? Because that's the only thing that's important. It was amazing, folks. It was absolutely amazing. And I do want to encourage you to do it. I do want to encourage you to. I guess the point that I want to bring is that if you're serving Jesus by coming to church, you ain't doing it right. You're not. I'm not. You can't serve Jesus by coming to church. I think it's great. I mean, I encourage it. I encourage the fellowship. I encourage the community atmosphere. I encourage the relationship building of it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not anti-church. I don't serve by coming. You know, I can take any one of you and talk to you about fly fishing and tell you everything I know about fly fishing and make you really, really educated about fly fishing, but chances are you couldn't catch trout. Unless you go to the stream and do it. There's a real good chance that you'd never be able to set the hook in time. The trout be laughing at you. Say, you got me? I don't want Satan laughing at you. Satan don't care if I come to church. He don't care. He's cool with that. But I ride out this world this morning when I went there and we started having that service. You don't like that. You don't like that. So, if you can't do anything, pray. Pray that God uses this church. Pray that God uses each one of these men. Pray that we have a desire, a hunger, a burning, a passion. In these last days, he said he'd rise up a remnant. He would call out people. Pray that it's you. Pray that it's me. Because I gave an illustration this morning. I would like to have carried in a big spool of rope. Not the right place to do it. But I want to carry in this big spool of rope. And I want to stretch it all the way around the room as many times as it can. And I'm going to take that rope. And on that first couple inches, I want to color it red. Now I got 200-foot rope. And I got 1 inch of red. That 1 inch of red signifies or represents our life memory. And everything we do in that little 1 inch of red affects all those other feet, which would be, as we know, forever. No stopping. What happens on that side of the road? There's guys back there. I use blocks on the wall. But it's a block building, and I looked up in the corner, and there was a quarter block where they started, and then there was a full block, you know, over there. And I used that quarter block, and I said, that's your God's life. That's what we have here on earth. In your family's eyes, in some of your eyes, the enemy's on your shoulder saying you've ruined that second portion of your life. I'm saying you haven't. I'm saying there's still a lot left to go. But beyond that little quarter block, that little piece, all the way around that building several times, is eternity. And the only thing that matters is what we do in that little piece here that's going to affect the rest of it. And some of you still got a whole lot of rest of it. And some of that rest of it's all going to be right here. We mentioned reading Chris. And you're going to get down on yourself as soon as you leave this room. But I tell you that we serve an awesome God. And that God has great plans. And I see your Bible coming to Avery Mitchell. I see it pod by pod, disciple by disciple. I see you bringing in, as the population turns over every day. And I see it each, we go to the Oakfells. It's kind of, I've only been there twice, but the first time we went, it was obvious that one young man was his first nightmare, or his second. I mean, he was scared to be dead. When I was his age, if I'd have been put in that situation, I would have been here. And there's opportunities for those Christian brothers to get around that young man and say, hey, I don't know if you know my Lord and Savior. I don't know if you know who Jesus is, but he has a plan for your life, and I'm going to explain to you this awesome gift that I have. And I'm incarcerated right next to you, and hopefully I'm in the same dorm as you, or the same pod as you. I'm not sure how exactly it's set up. I haven't been in a house in a minute. But that's what my morning's been like. And I hope there's a whole bunch of mornings like it again. I really do. Not that Kirk has to get sick to do it again. But I really, it was so obvious that through that, God had worked this out this morning for me to have this time to confirm that he has a call on my life. Not that I'm anything special, so I show you God. But I do love Jesus. And I do want to encourage you guys. If you're not doing something, I don't care if it's just the least little thing, if it's the nursery or if it's Bible study or, and all these are big things, I'm not saying them, but they may in your mind think, well, I don't have anything to offer. Pray for me so that I can help encourage you, that we can go out in this community, go out in this county, go out in these towns, go out in these prisons, go into these hospitals, go into the Bryan Center. You know, there's so much that God has you. And I haven't done much of that anyway. I'm 58 years old. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the morning. First off, I don't want to make light of it. I want to pray for Kurt that he gets better. That you heal him today. That this stuff linger on, spread through your family. That's all wrong. Father, I also pray. Also, thank you for showing me as clear as you could show me. That if I just take a step, that you'll show me the next one. Father, I help you, help me to encourage others. Whether they be in prison, whether they be here in my church family, whether it be people I meet on the stream, whatever, home improvement, whatever, that I can help encourage those folks to come to know you. And not just to know you, Father, but to do something with that knowledge. I pray for a desire, a burning hunger, a revival. Not only just break out here in Mitchell, but to break out in this community, to break out in this Bible Belt that's not really sure, you know, if this is just what we do. That we come alongside one another and become family. Father, I ask that you go with us this week. We don't never know what our weeks are going to hold. This last week for some families was tragic in our fleshly eyes. We don't see the whole plan, but still there's hearts broken this week. I ask you to be with those families. I ask that you give us a safe week. Give us a week that gets us in the Word, that we open this book. And it's not a drudgery. It's not a thing that's a religious thing. It's a thing that we desire to do, Father. And I know that takes a work of the Spirit. So I pray for that today. I pray for that in my life. That I continue to be on fire. That my desire grows, Father. That I finish strong. I pray, Father, for anybody in this building that don't know you, that they come to me. They want to get some of this off. That they want to find out how in the world somebody in prison or double life can have a hope and a joy that all can come from Jesus. There's a whole bunch of free people more bound than prisoners. We all know that. So I pray for whatever's in store for us this week, Father, that we turn it over to you. As we go into the Easter services this coming week, Father, that we lift you up in all things that we do and say. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Blessed assurance, 157 of the Rig. Let's stand.